Moncrief on News Talk.
Blind Boy Boat Club is just back from Electric Picnic. He'll be appearing next on September the 23rd in Vicar Street and on the 27th in the Millennium Theatre in Derry. But he's not joining us today to talk about any of that. Rather, the gift that is bird poo. Blind Boy, good afternoon.
How are you, Sean? What's the crack? Thank you so much for having me on.
Tell us about Bedford Row.
Okay, so there's this street in Limerick called Bedford Row. It's our main pedestrianised street. And it's just, there's a profound, prodigious amount of bird shit on this street. Has been for a number of years. Now, the street, like we call it the bird shit district in Limerick. That's the informal name for the street. Like, people slip on the street frequently because of the bird shit. And also, if you walk down this street, in the summer months in particular, you see people with their T-shirts up over their face because the smell is so spectacular. And it's because of this beautiful, this murmuration of starlings. There's 9 trees, but there's a couple of thousand starlings roosting in these trees. And every single evening, they do mad loads of shits.
Well, I suppose they've had a good meal and maybe it's that time for them to do that. Now, I suppose, and you know, this prompted your curiosity as well as everything else as to why these starlings are coming back to that specific point or that specific location. And why is that?
Actually, I forgot I was on the radio there, Sean. Should I be saying poo-poo instead?
I know, you've said it about 17 times now, so I think we're done. And it's official name. Rather than
the bird shit district.
Yeah.
So the thing is, right, what I was speaking about this on my podcast every week, and I'm fascinated because I couldn't escape this. Like, I've got an office in the middle of Limerick city centre. That's how I do my writing. It's how I do my podcast. I treat it like a 9 to 5, and I get up, I go into my office at 9 in the morning and I leave at 5. But bird shit became a huge part of my routine, completely unavoidable. I was either slipping on it or couldn't escape the smell because the smell is indefinable. You're not supposed to smell that much bird shit, you know what I mean? It's like a cousin of eggshells. It's astounding. But I started to look into, like, do serious research on this. I looked at the biodiversity reports that were commissioned by Limerick Council. I looked at the area. So Bedford Row, it's just on the River Shannon. And if you look at what was there before Limerick City, so I'm going back to the time of the Vikings, nearly 8th century, what was there was what's called a riparian habitat. And a riparian habitat is fascinating because it's the area between a river and land. It's nature's sponge. It's like a forest that's seasonally flooded. It's supposed to be flooded. But a lot of our cities around the world are actually built on these riparian habitats. Limerick in particular, because the Vikings loved to build cities and riparian habitats. So the thing is, the birds are there now today and they're doing all these shits. And that shit is very rich in nitrogen. Like, I got so obsessed with bird shit for about a year. Like, bird shit is the reason that we have 8 billion people in the world. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. And do explain that.
So here's the thing. Bird shit is mostly nitrogen. Nitrogen is actually very hard to come by as a fertilizer. If you think of fertilizing crops, okay, but you've got grass, you've got plants, but once that decomposes back into the soil and gives the nitrogen back into the soil, you can't get more of it. But when colonialism started to expand to South America, the British and the Spanish started realizing there was entire islands in Peru and Chile that were made entirely out of bird shit, guano they called it, and this became fertilizer. So after colonization and the colonization of the New World, we had excess nitrogen. So now all of a sudden Europeans could grow way more crops because we had all this bird shit from Peru and from Chile. There's even a theory that the potato blight came over on Peruvian bird shit on a ship and came to Ireland.
Huh.
But the thing is that this caused a huge expansion in the 1800s and the 1900s of human population because we could simply grow more food with all this bird shit. But then near the 19th century, we started to actually run out of it. It was a finite resource to the point that there was so little bird shit in the world, right, that they had to dig up all the battlefields to find nitrogen. They dug up the battlefield of Waterloo to get the bones of thousands of horses to get nitrogen out of it. And there was almost a global famine by the end of the 19th century because we'd run out of nitrogen effectively. And then this chemist in 1905 called Fritz Haber, he invented a thing called the Haber process where he could take nitrogen out of the air because there's nitrogen all around in the air. Now we have the technology basically to turn that into fertilizer. That's why we've got 8 billion people in the world. Now we have unlimited nitrogen and then the food became unlimited. That was all because of bird shit, right? So I started getting really obsessed with it because of that. But this riparian habitat there that's on Bedford Row, the actual purpose, the reason the birds return to it is because their droppings are very important to the biodiversity of the area. They're supposed to leach into this seasonally flooded forest. Because the forest, you see, floods, the nutrients wash away and then it's replenished by all this bird shit. But because we've built a city on it, we've made the bird shit pointless. And just a final point about why I adore the birds. When I see that flock of starlings, I don't consider them to be a flock of birds. I consider them to be a book. And what I mean by that is, like, if how can it be a book? It's a flock of birds. That those starlings are a book about an ancient forest. Their behaviour tells me about a forest that doesn't exist anymore, and I find that phenomenal. I find it so fascinating.
Gosh, and I suppose they just hose down the street every day to get rid of
Limerick,
it.
Limerick Council hose it down 5 days a week, you know, and it's just such a waste. No one told the starlings that, like, there's a city here now. They're still behaving as if it's a riparian floodland, and all that nitrogen is getting wasted. So it's not the starlings' fault. It's our fault for building cities. But the thing is, this isn't a uniquely Limerick problem. And the reason the starlings of Limerick are important is that it actually tells us a story about climate change the world over. And what I mean by this is lots of cities around the world are built on these riparian habitats. Paris, London, cities in China. And we know that we're facing floods. Floods are getting way worse because of climate change. Floods in urban areas, it's not just because there's more extreme weather or that the sea levels are rising. It's not just that. It's because we have built our cities on nature's floodplains. We've built our cities over these areas that act as sponge. So we've got concrete where there's supposed to be riparian habitats. And what I'd love to see in Limerick is don't get rid of the starlings. Introduce the... Like in China, they're doing it already. There's cities in China and they're making them into what's called sponge cities. They are incorporating wetlands into urban environments in order to prevent against flooding. But in Bedford Row and Limerick, you can put these things in there called bioswales, right? They're like little mini wetland flower pot things. And you could be using the bird shit as fertilizer, and as well as that, no one will be slipping and it'll be aesthetically beautiful too.
Okay, because I assume there's trees in Bedford Row and that's
9 of them.
Yeah, that's where the birds are collecting.
They roost on these trees every night. They do. The other thing that's beautiful about starlings is that they do a murmuration every night. And again, their murmuration it's a sad story because, and everyone knows this when they see it, when you see starlings in the air and they form these beautiful shapes in the sky in the evening, what they're actually doing is they are trying to make themselves appear like one large bird because they're trying to frighten off their predators. Huh. Their predators would be hawks and buzzards, but a lot of these hawks and buzzards are extinct now. So their dance that they do in the evening, what makes it sad is that it's pointless. No one told them that the hawks are extinct. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So they tell this sad story of biodiversity collapse, and that's why I've been talking about this bird shit every single week on my podcast, and I've inadvertently, I didn't intend this for happen, but I've caused international bird shit tourism and a bird shit pilgrimage to Limerick. And this now is causing kind of a little bit of embarrassment for Limerick City Council, I think.
Yeah, well, perhaps then they should lean into it rather than trying to get rid of it or somehow collect it in some way.
That's what I suggested. And rather than being embarrassed about the bird shit, like before colonization in Ireland, right? If you go back to the Brehon laws, go to like the 8th or 9th century, we had these laws called the Brecht Baha, and it was this massive, huge text about how we should treat bees, about the treatment of bees and hives and honey, massive law texts that bees were to be respected and protected because they were essential to how we live, to feed ourselves, to pollinate and biodiversity. We should bring some of that attitude back, that old pre-colonial, because like climate collapse is also, it's very colonial. Colonization did this, you know what I mean? Like Ireland used to be a rainforest, and when Britain colonized Ireland, they didn't just colonize the people, they cut down our forests in order to have pasture land, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it'd be a decolonial act for us to look back to something like the Brek Baha and respect and worship and venerate these beautiful starlings and have a bird shit festival.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, just going back to the historical connections of all this, there's a link between this and 1916.
There is, actually, because I was talking to Mancon Magan. You know Mancon, don't you? So yeah. Mancon was listening to my podcast about bird shit, and he was listening to me speaking about the importance of guano, this bird shit fertilizer. And then he realized Mancon had, I think it was a granduncle, one of the O'Rahillys. And this O'Rahilly, literally funded the 1916 Rising. So Mancon's great granduncle or whatever it was, gave money to buy guns for the 1916 Rising. But this fella was a bird shit importer. Ha! So me and Mancon found out the 1916 Rising was funded by bird shit. Like, this is amazing stuff. I'm autistic, if you haven't noticed, by the way, there, Sean. This is also, it's a big reason I can't switch off. There's no off switch for the bird shit in my head once I fixate on it, you know what I mean?
Well, no, but why would there be? Because it's absolutely fascinating.
I love it. I love the poetry of it. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But I think the council would prefer if I wasn't on News Talk talking about it.
Ah, no. I mean, really, what are they going to do? I mean, there's probably something more reasonable and useful they can do rather than sending workers out to hose it down every year.
What I want is, like I mentioned there, that I'm autistic, right? And I think I think at one point in society, autistic people had value in society because we were the ones coming up with mad, crazy ideas. We were the ones who have a natural propensity towards divergent thinking and strange solutions to things. And like the stuff that I'm no expert on bird shit, right? But what I am handy at is storytelling and divergent thinking. And I would like to think that some of the silly ideas that I'm coming up with could be listened to by an expert who studies starlings and biodiversity, and they might come up now with an evidence-based, achievable solution that's better than just hosing the street every day or cutting down the trees.
Yeah, yeah, I really, for the life of me, don't see why not. I did mention Electric Picnic at the start. I understand you don't really like doing festivals.
Yeah, I did. I've been gigging Electric Picnic every single year since 2006. Like there's adults, there's 18 and 19 year old adults at Electric Picnic who were born when I did my first gig there. And I've gigged it every year. Hmm. I don't know. Festivals to me are big, loud fields full of people. And that's not really my comfort zone. So I did a live podcast there at the weekend, myself and Dara O'Brien and Ruth Freeman from Science Ireland. We did a little talk about science and curiosity around science. I did my gig and I went home, you know, and I did it nice and early in the day at 1 o'clock. Festivals just aren't for me. It's not my comfort zone, you know, but I keep getting asked to do them.
Yeah. Do you, so then like if you feel uncomfortable in them, do you have a kind of a strategy as to how to deal with it? Or is that the strategy, get in and out as quick as you can?
I always stay backstage, and in all my years of doing festivals, which is almost 20 years, I've actually never gone out into the crowd ever. You know what I mean? Because, again, for years, I used to call that social anxiety. And then I got diagnosed with autism a couple of years ago. And then I realized, actually, no, that's autistic. It's overstimulating. I would experience a crowd at Electric Picnic. It'd be like shoving my face into a lot of nettles. It's not pleasant. And the only way I could do it is to cope. So I'd rather just get away.
Yeah. Gosh, then back in the early days when you were performing on stage for people, I mean, in the musical early days, was that really difficult for you then?
Not really, you see, because the thing is, like even here, I'm having a conversation with you, right? And but I'm speaking about something I'm genuinely passionate about. I'm speaking about bird shit. I care about bird shit. But if I met you in the street and you said to me, how'd you get on an electric picnic? I'd have great difficulty doing that because of the unpredictability of small talk. So that's it, you know, and that's why I wear a plastic bag on my head. The thing is, if you go on the radio or you go on TV, you end up with a lot of small talk in the street, but I don't have to do that because I have a plastic bag on my head. But like, I'm handy talking about things that I'm passionate about, but small talk is difficult. And what frightens me about festivals is because the rules of society are different at a festival, it's very unpredictable. In particular, the way that people move in a field. If you're in a field full of a couple of thousand people, everyone scatters in different directions. And it's not that I'm afraid of it. I experience it as profoundly overwhelming. And then I need to just be by myself. And the risk of that is, again, this is something I learned about being autistic. When I'm around huge amounts of people, I can do it, but then that drains my social battery. So the day at, like, I'm going to have to really mind myself this week because I was at Electric Picnic and that was so overwhelming. I have to be very careful this week around things like being able to read the clock, being on time for appointments, answering emails, answering texts. I lose skills of what's called executive functioning. The very simple skills to plan and to operate on an adult level. That's what neurodivergent people lose when they find themselves being overstimulated.
Yeah. Actually, one of our listeners texted in about Fritz Haber, who you were talking about.
Yeah.
They say he was a very conflicting character. He saved thousands of lives with his nitrogen process. He also killed thousands of people by pioneering chemical warfare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the other thing. I nearly ended up dragging Cillian Murphy into the bird shit saga because I did my bird shit podcast, right? And then the week afterwards, Cillian Murphy was promoting Oppenheimer. And I was going to start talking to Cillian about bird shit because the thing is, we wouldn't have the atomic bomb without bird shit. Because the thing, what that listener mentioned there is Fritz Haber, yes, he figured it, like, what I say about Fritz Haber, he took the blue from the sky and put it in the ground. That's what it is. But when you look up at that sky and the sky is blue, the reason the sky is blue is because light excites the nitrogen particles. And when the sunlight excites nitrogen, we experience that as the color blue. Because there's I think the air is made out of 70% nitrogen. So Fritz Haber took that blue from the sky and put it in the ground and gave us food. But also nitrogen is explosives. There'd be no world war. There'd be no bombs. Mm. You know, bombs happen because of this process too. It's one of those inventions where you kind of go, would we be better off without it? Like, it's so many people exist because of the amount of food that was made, but it's not natural. Like, I'll tell you what, there's a certain type of plant called a legume. Shamrocks are legumes, and legumes can take nitrogen from the air and put it back into the soil. And that's nature's only way of doing that. But Fritz Haber figured out a chemical process to get unlimited nitrogen. We're not really supposed to have unlimited nitrogen. Like climate collapse is happening because of unlimited nitrogen. It's one of the reasons.
My word. Apparently somebody else says there's a riparian area in the heart of Ennis in County Clare that's thriving with wildlife. It's called the Ennis Post Office Field. The council are proposing to build a walkway across the area so people can cut a minute off a walk across town and be in among the wildlife. The wildlife don't want people among them, and they may also not come back when they leave during the works to construct this walkway. But a lot of people are objecting to hands off the Ennis Post Office Field, says somebody, presumably.
It's an interesting one, yeah, because riparian habitats now, we have some like unkempt riparian habitats in Limerick, otters in particular. Like, otters love riparian habitats, and otters also like keeping to themselves. So even though it's beautiful to be around a riparian habitat, not every animal who little ducks and otters, and you might even have voles down there, even though they're not indigenous to Ireland. You'll have a lot of animals that don't want people around them. Yeah, it's a tough one because you're trying to get people to appreciate nature. You're trying to preserve an area, but then it's, if you really want to be serious about rewilding something, you got to leave it wild. You got to actually stay away.
Yeah. Blind Boy, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Take it handy this week. That's Blind Boy Boat Club.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.